Pope Benedict XVI on Thursday visited the Agostino Gemelli Teaching Hospital, located on Rome's Monte Mario Hill, to mark the 50th anniversary of the establishment of the medical faculty. The Gemelli serves as the official hospital for the Pope, and a suite of reserved rooms is always available for him. It is the official teaching hospital of the Catholic University of the Sacred Heart, and also houses the university's Bioethics Centre. The centre trains people in clinical bioethics, whose practitioners advise patients and doctors on what procedures can be followed in treating an illness. Bioethicists are trained in a wide variety of ways, including watching medical procedures being performed and speaking to patients facing often difficult decisions. Joseph Meany is a doctoral candidate in the bioethics program. He spoke to Charles Collins.
Well, essentially all the hospitals in Italy and in most countries in the world now have ethics committees. So when there's a serious case that comes up and the doctors really don't know what is licit to do or not, they will consult the ethic committee and see, you know, what procedures may be permissible, what needs to be done in certain situations when it's just not ethically clear.
Can you give us an example, a hypothetical case where such a clinical ethics problem would happen?
Sure. I mean, a person is dying of cancer and decides that he no longer wants treatment. And so then the doctors feel that he should continue the treatment, but the patient doesn't want that. And so then they'll consult with the ethics committee to see whether the treatment is especially burdensome, if it's really an extraordinary means at this point, if the patient really needs to continue with this treatment or can forego it and just go for palliative care. That happens fairly frequently.
Now, in your work now that you're doing in the Gemelli, do you meet mostly with doctors? Do you meet with patients? What does a clinical ethicist do?
Yeah, there's a really wide range of personal contacts. So you definitely meet with the patients. Sometimes the patients are either mentally incompetent or even unconscious. At that point, you meet with those family members or those who have sort of a medical guardianship over that patient. You meet with the doctors. It's very important, actually, for a good bioethicist to know some of the science, you know, what the medical procedures are and what the implications are, but also to have a certain, you know, physical contact and counseling even with these persons who are grieving in a very serious situation.
What kind of interaction does an ethicist have with the patient? Do they just discuss the ethical concerns, or is it more personal than that?
Sure. A lot of it has to do, I mean, there's an informed consent aspect. So you have to communicate in very simple language, generally, what the situation is and what the different treatment options are. But beyond that, you have to realize that these persons are under huge stress. They're very sick, generally. And so you have to have a pastoral component where you understand their feelings and help them to also prepare for death in many circumstances.
When you get to a situation where a patient has choices and all the choices are technically licit, what is the role of the ethicist in that situation?
Generally speaking, when you're in a gray area or you're in an area where there are multiple possible choices, the patient needs to really reflect well on what is best for them and what is best for their families. In many circumstances, patients don't want to be a burden on their families, and that sometimes skews their thinking. So they say, well, I just want to die right now so my family doesn't, you know, grieve or doesn't have to pay out or whatever it is. That usually we try to discourage. I mean, it should be a little bit more objective, and being a burden on one's family is not necessarily such a bad thing. In fact, family members generally take this opportunity to step up and show their love for their family member. So actually, at the end of life issues in particular, it's very important for them to realize that it's a joint process and, you know, not to feel isolated, that they're being a burden on everybody and they should just end their suffering and go away. Rather, it's a moment to grow and also to prepare for eternal life. So as a Catholic institution and in these Catholic hospitals, the pastoral component is very, very important.
We've talked about what your relationship is like with the patients. What is it like with the doctors?
With the doctors, it's interesting because frequently there's a certain sense where they want to avoid making a decision. And so there's a hard decision that needs to be made, and they don't want to take full responsibility for it, so they'll turn to the ethics committee. And unfortunately, in some countries, ethics committees have become sort of yes people, where they'll just say yes to whatever decision the doctor really wants to do but doesn't feel comfortable taking that decision, rather than actually studying the cases. And one of the things that's wonderful about the Catholic University of the Sacred Heart is that they say, look, we have to be faithful to the truth. We have to be faithful to what is right. We sometimes get into conflicts with doctors because of that. But still, we try to have as good of a relationship as we can with the medical personnel and to be of assistance to them. But we also try to avoid being yes persons who just say yes to whatever they really want to do, but they don't want to take responsibility and risk a lawsuit or whatever else.
How difficult is the work of an ethicist, for example, a Catholic ethicist such as you, when you get into the realm of non-Catholic hospitals? Are you using different starting points when talking about medical ethics in these cases?
Yeah, it is much more difficult in a non-Catholic context because there's so many more options on the table that are just not acceptable from an ethical point of view. So in many circumstances, doctors will be pushing abortion in cases of pregnant women who have medical complications, and the abortion they think would solve this problem. There are also situations where there's a push increasingly for, you know, unethical treatment at end of life that would either starve the patient or put them into a coma when that's not necessarily good. So we have much more challenges. And that at that point, really, the ethicist needs to make a personal connection with the patient because the patient's will is going to override what the doctors and the hospital wants to do. But it's more difficult because there's more of a conflictual relationship at times.
Do hospitals have a responsibility to try for a non-religious hospital? Do they have a responsibility to try and find an ethicist who is of the same moral or religious background as the patient?
They don't, actually. So these hospitals will form their own ethics committees, and then they just choose who they want to be on those committees. So in a sense, Catholics are sometimes excluded even before getting to the stage of being on the ethics committee because they know that some of the things they're going to want the ethics committee to approve are not morally acceptable to Catholics. So that is a problem. Now, patients themselves can call in an ethical consult from outside the hospital. And so we can do that at times. But it is a little bit of coming in from the outside and being a little bit more conflictual sometimes.